morning. The time is 9:07. A few clouds out there, but some sunshine. Beautiful start here on this Thursday morning. Temperature of 66 degrees at our studio on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and it's hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. As I've been talking about, boy, it does not get much better than this. Just a gorgeous start. Looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day weather-wise as we get towards the end of the work week. But there does look like there's some rain in the forecast as well. And, of course, we have the weekend coming up. I'm sure many of you have some outdoor activities on the planning docket. Can you expect anything this weekend? So to answer all the questions we do have about the weather, we're joined again from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, first of all, good morning.
Good morning to you.
It is just a gorgeous start here. I mean, this time of year, you love the fact that one of the good things about waking up early is you get out there and it's a little bit cool when you get out there, when the days do get to tend to be a little bit warmer, but just a gorgeous start here. And it looks as though, unlike yesterday where we had a gorgeous start where the clouds and a little bit of rain came in later in the day, it looks like today pretty much looks fantastic, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's actually a pretty decent day today. Sunny skies, highs getting up right around about the mid-70s. We should be around about 80 degrees, so not far from average here for today. Tonight, we'll see an increase in cloud cover. We do have a slight chance for an isolated shower or thunderstorm coming in the overnight hours. Overnight lows around about 54. Friday, it looks like temperature-wise, not much of a difference. High around 77 degrees, a chance for showers and thunderstorms with cloudy skies. We also have a slight risk for severe weather tomorrow, so definitely something we'll keep you posted on as we get through the daytime. By Saturday, a dry start to the weekend. Sunny high around about 78 degrees. Looks like 77 here on Sunday. Slight chance for showers here in the afternoon hours with partial sunshine developing. And just a few degrees cooler here to start out the new work week on Monday. Our coolest day this forecast. Chance for rain showers, blend of clouds and sun develops with a high around about 73.
Overall, not too bad. But tomorrow, you talk about the weather and the potential maybe of something severe. Tomorrow, is that going to be closer to a washout? Do we expect rain pretty much throughout the day?
Not throughout the entire day. We'll see that coming in mostly once we get to the late morning into the afternoon hours.
Okay, very good. Well, let's enjoy today's beautiful weather. Thanks again for the information. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
No problem.
That is our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Of course, we get the accurate weather from the people that know it from Weatherology each weekday at 9:06. And of course, twice an hour throughout the day, you can count on Weatherology to keep you up to speed on any weather, whether here in the summertime with thunderstorms or tornadoes, and of course, during the winter with the snowstorms and the blizzards and the like as well. But right now, again, a gorgeous start here in central Wisconsin. Temperature stands at 66 degrees with mostly sunny skies. The winds are variable at 5 miles per hour. The dew point is 57. Relative humidity of 73%. The barometer at 29.78 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Again, coming up during this hour on the program, at the bottom of the hour at about 9:30, we'll be joined to talk about Green Bay Packer football. Yep, the Packers are getting set to open up their preseason tomorrow night, the first preseason game, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati, one of the best teams in the AFC, a team always expected to be among the best in the NFL in recent years. They're missing their quarterback, Joe Burrow, who suffered a calf injury in camp, but still a very, very good team and a good way to start off the preseason for the Packers. And we'll talk about the Packers and what's going on, and we'll talk from Cincinnati to our Civic Media Sports Director, Mike Clemens. Mike is in Cincinnati. He watched the Packers and the Bengals in a joint practice yesterday, and we will find out from Mike Clemens what's going on in the Queen City of Ohio and what to expect to see from the Packers tomorrow night. How much will we see the starters? How much will we see Jordan Love? What can we hope to see from Love against the Cincinnati defense tomorrow night? So we'll talk about all that with Mike Clemens coming up at 9:30. Here on the Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also, again, I want to remind you, I talk about this quite a bit, but with the start of the new high school football season coming up and the Friday nights where we are putting live broadcasts on our sports stream too, and our Sports Stream 3. In order, the easiest way to get games off our alternate streams is with the Civic Media app. And if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, I'm asking you to do so because it'll help you be able to catch your favorite high school teams in action and also so much more on it. We have numerous features, including all the Civic Media radio stations you can click on to get connected with them, and also got podcasts and a whole bunch more. But get the Civic Media app wherever you do purchase or download, I should say, your apps. We're going to take a time out. We're going to talk a little bit about the first person to throw their hat into the ring on the Republican side in the U.S. Senate race against Tammy Baldwin. And she is from Stevens Point and Central Wisconsin. But sounds a lot like Donald Trump, to be honest with you. We're going to talk about that coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We're coming up fast on another high school sports season here in Central Wisconsin. Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still covers high school sports on a play-by-play basis. I'm Chad Holmes. I've been with WXCO for over 20 years, bringing you coverage of Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon High School sports. In order to continue the coverage of the Warriors, Cardinals, and Red Raiders at the level we have over the years, we need your support. We are looking for businesses and individuals to help support our broadcast of high school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Please help us continue to tell the stories of our student athletes here in Central Wisconsin. To find out the different options to support our broadcast of high school sports, please give Nathan or Luis a call at 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. Again, that's Nathan or Luis at 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, we've been waiting. There's been plenty of folks who have been putting their toe in the water concerning a run for the United States Senate against the incumbent, Tammy Baldwin. Well, the first Republican is announced, and it's a name that I don't think anybody politically has heard from, but from here in Central Wisconsin. Somebody that is actually the leader of the College Republicans at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Rajani Ravidran, a 40-year-old college student, chair of the UW-Stevens Point College Republicans, has announced her candidacy for the 2024 election. Several other higher-profile Republicans have decided against taking on Baldwin as she seeks a third term in the presidential election year. U.S. Representatives Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany have both opted against a run. Other Republicans considering getting into the race include Madison businessman and 2012 Senate candidate Eric Hovde, Franklin businessman Scott Meyer, and former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Ravindran have not seen a whole lot from her in terms of platform, but it is a generic mega platform. Here's, I wanted to, she had a couple of sound bites that were put out that I was able to find for her announcement this week. Here's what she talked about in terms of her run here for the U.S. Senate. Again, a long shot, an unknown, putting her hat into the ring.
Win or lose, I don't care about that. As long as I do the right thing, I stand for the right purpose. So it's up to the people of Wisconsin who they want to elect for. But everybody, every U.S. citizen who is qualified for this race have a chance to run for the office. Not a career politicians like a Tammy Baldwin or someone else. They get into the office not giving someone else a chance to prove what they can do for the people.
I was wondering, after she said that, I can assume she was not a supporter of Ron Johnson since she wanted somebody else to get a chance. But I say that in jest. I say that with a little bit of a smile and a chuckle. Obviously, she was a big supporter of Ron Johnson and Donald Trump as well, which I'll get into in a few moments. She is an immigrant to the United States. She came to this country back in 2011 from India, where she was a nurse and a midwife. She became a U.S. citizen in 2015 and lived in California before moving to Wisconsin in 2017. Here is more from the candidate for the United States Senate, Rajani Ravindran.
First of all, I am not running this election to win. I am running this election to do the right thing and to speak the truth. As long as I can do that, I will be okay with my campaign. And it is not up to me or someone else who will be get elected. First of all, it is up to God. Then second, it is up to the people of Wisconsin.
I understand people that are deeply religious saying things like that, but it rubs me the wrong way. And again, you can disagree, and I have no problem with that. I know there are people that are more religious than I am. But the idea that God puts somebody in office, that God makes the decision, God decides who's going to win the Super Bowl. I have a belief that God does not get involved in the day-to-day aspects of, you can call them either important or even unimportant. Whether they're important or unimportant, there's something we call free will. And I get rubbed the wrong way when people believe that they are the vessel of God and that if you get elected, it's because God wanted you to. I mean, there's been plenty of people that said God put Donald Trump in the White House. You didn't hear a whole lot of that when God was putting Barack Obama in the White House or putting Bill Clinton in the White House or putting Joe Biden in the White House. So again, there's no problem with folks having deep, deep religious beliefs. But I just get rubbed the wrong way with that because also it makes me angry when you see an innocent child who gets a deadly disease or gets molested by people who try to use God in their own way. So again, let's go away from that and let's just try to talk about issues and talk about who is able to do the best job when it comes to serving the people of the state of Wisconsin. Ravindran said she is a single mother with three children and is running to bring the perspective of regular people and regular moms to Wisconsin, according to her campaign material. She said that she was motivated to run for the Senate after visiting Washington earlier in the spring. And again, she is an immigrant. She is somebody that does not look like a lot of the Republicans. But boy, when you look at the material and look at the belief she has, she is very much a mega Republican. Her campaign flyer said, if elected, she will push for eliminating illegal immigration. Again, I would love to, I'm going to reach out and I want to get her on this program. I hope she comes on. Because immigration reform needs to be comprehensive. Without immigration and illegal immigration, as she'll put it, we'll call it undocumented workers, much of the Wisconsin economy needs immigrant workers, whether undocumented or documented. And we need to get a plan for complete immigration reform. And again, using this, you know, hot button illegal immigration wording, I think is something that is a red flag, especially coming from an immigrant herself. I find that it's like you climb the ladder, then you pull up the ladder behind you. She also says she will, quote, fight against the woke agenda and preserve the innocence of our children. Again, hot button words, the woke agenda. And I've said this in the past, I'll say it again. If woke is trying to understand everybody's perspective and trying to understand the issues and the problems that everybody has, I am woke 100% of the time, 7 days a week, 365 days during the year. These Republicans like Robin Voss and now Rajani Ravindran talking about the woke agenda like it's a horrible thing. I disagree vehemently with it. Again, you know, you can disagree or agree, but I disagree with that. And then preserve the innocence of our children. Again, that's talking about book bans. And again, a lot of the issues, the social issues that are causing a major rift in our society. She says she will end the war in Ukraine. She will end the war in Ukraine, or wants to end the war in Ukraine. Again, standing on the side of Russia against Ukraine. That's what it means. Ravindran plans to graduate with a bachelor's degree in political science and a certificate in international relations next year. She also told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that she supported former President Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020 and is supporting him again in 2024. MAGA to the bone. MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. Our Central Wisconsin candidate for the United States Senate against Tammy Baldwin, the 40-year-old college student and chair of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point College Republicans, Rajani Ravindran. Again, long shot, but boy, she checks every box of the MAGA agenda, doesn't she? Got to take a break. We're going to come back and talk some Green Bay Packer football. Mike Clemens in Cincinnati with the Pack as they get set to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And Chad Holmes back with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's almost that time of year. For the first time in the preseason, the Green Bay Packers will kick things off in Cincinnati tomorrow night, taking on one of the top teams in the AFC, the Cincinnati Bengals. But the Pack actually got off to the Queen City of Ohio early for some joint practices with the Bengals, and also heading off to Cincinnati early was our very own civic media sports director and Packer reporter, Mike Clemens. And Mike from Cincinnati joining us live. Mike, good morning.
Chad, I'll tell you, the Queen City is also a humid city, kind of like St. Louis, because you're right there in the Ohio River Valley. And I mean, actually, when you cross in on the drive that we took from Indiana into Ohio, it gets very pretty, gets very hilly, but now you're down there on this flat practice field that's downtown, exposed to, you know, the sun. It's got the backdrop of the stadium, big metal stadium, and the river is just over your shoulder. And, man, it was a sauna down there yesterday. So that means, I mean, even the place kicker was working up a sweat.
And does it also mean that the tempers get really short? Because I think everybody around here was seeing some of the footage, and I know that you were right there Elkton Jenkins. Was his temper a little short yesterday? Not one, but a couple of different issues.
Yeah, I think your Packer boy here may have lost 5 or 6 pounds at yesterday's practice too. Yeah, that probably added to it. So yeah, you know, they let you in. There's a metal gate there. Maybe there's 2,000 fans. You walk in, you do a double take. There's Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame offensive tackle for the Bengals, you know, during that run with Sam Weish back in the 80s and the early 90s. And they did a few different things. We got tipped off that, the Packers are very guarded these days about any of their practices. For example, we can't shoot 11-on-11. We'd love to, but we just have to describe it on Twitter and our blogs or when we're on the air. The Bengals, let the local news people shoot the 11-on-11 all the time. So they've got great highlights of Joe Burrow and company when they're operating. So there was a bit of a compromise. LaFleur usually doesn't run any 7-on-7, you know, secondary and wide receivers against each other and quarterbacks. But the Bengals like to do it. The host does. So they ran some 7-on-7, and they told us, you can shoot that. Which was great. Then we had some of those matchups. So Jordan Love lines up there with, you know, his first team. He's got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs out there. They're running Jaden Reed, the high draft pick there in the slot. And I'm telling you, to me, it was like, okay, now this is why it was worth making this trip. Bengals have still got a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They got a good team. They ranked high in defense last year and the fewest amount of points scored. And so there's Jordan Love. He's got strong right. He's faking to a running back, and he's trying to throw to Luke Musgrave. This one I posted on the Twitter account at Mike Clemens NFL to Luke Musgrave, the big rookie tight end, and it looks like he's open. And then coming up from behind him is the little short safety about the size of Jair, Dax Hill. He comes over this 6'6" tight end and deflects the ball away. And then, you know, stands up and says, you know, not today, rookie, right?
Right.
And it's like, oh, this was worth the trip. Because it's not like you're going against Jair and company, who have all the plays and the formations memorized because you're on the same team. You're going up against a uncommon opponent, and they're picking this stuff apart. So there were some challenges that way for Jordan Love and company. But as time went on, Jordan got off, you know, some pretty good plays. He had a nice one to Doubs down the right-hand side, who had about a foot, a stride or so on the defensive back that was covering him. To me, the offensive play of the day for the Packers was actually this Malik Heath that I've been talking about, number 18, undrafted. But I found out, Chad, that Jason Vrabel, the wide receiver coach, did a Zoom call with this kid even before the draft. So even though they took two or three different wide receivers ending up in the seventh round, they immediately called that guy to bring him on. I think he's going to make the team. He broke away from his defender by 5 or 6 yards, and I think it was actually Alex Magoo that chucked it up there, about 40 or 50 yards. And that was a 70-yard TD. So we're getting into it, and they had a lot of snaps. They got a lot of work in. And now we're almost about 2 hours into the practice, and the Packers run a little screen off to the left-hand side. And big Elton Jenkins, the veteran left guard now, he hits this linebacker, Jermaine Pratt. He's one of their first-team defense linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And it knocked him down. Mm-hmm. And Pratt got up like that was too rough, you know. And so he starts pushing Elton, and Elton pushes back, and it's on. There's like 100 players in this huddle around them, and they're pushing and shoving. And then you start seeing Packers ended up on the ground because dudes are throwing. And I think I saw Sean Ryan, the backup guard, on the ground. I know Romeo Doubs had to pick himself up out of the dirt. Aaron Jones, little Aaron Jones is, and they're trying to get behind these guys as a veteran to get them to stop, because it was going on for a minute or two, you know, nonstop, before the refs or the coaches could break it up. Another player or two goes by, and then DJ Reader, big defensive lineman for the Bengals, gets tangled up with Elton Jenkins, and those two start John, and Jenkins just starts slapping him in the face on the face mask. And then again, there's a big crowd. And, you know, Elton Jenkins is, you know, one of the nicest, lunch pail, hardworking guys ever. But he had had enough. And at that point, so did LaFleur. And he had Gray Rugemer, former offensive lineman, now the, you know, director of player development, you know, escort Mr. Jenkins. He's done for the day. And they walked him off the field and into the visitor's locker room early. So, but you know something? First of all, people say, oh, you know, these camp fights. You know, as one of the Bengals said, you know, I'm wearing $10,000 of football equipment. How bad is it really going to get? But they are nasty. I mean, these guys are huge. and guys, you know, you don't want to see somebody get a twisted ankle out of the deal when those big, you know, brawl or huddles, scrums break out. But there's something to it. There's a lot of juice. And I was in the Packers locker room when LaFleur had first arrived in Green Bay, and he did one of these joint practices. It was against the Texans. And the Texans had just drafted a hot-headed defensive back who'd had some trouble in college. I believe his name was Lonnie Johnson. Hard-hitting dude. Lonnie Lott kind of guy. And he drilled rookie Jace Stenberger that they had just drafted.
Right.
And, I mean, Stenberger was never the same. He ended up in the USL catching passes from Alex Magoo. But that a couple of fights broke out with the Texans. And after that, in the Packers locker room, those guys were the most galvanized group I'd seen in years. I mean, Davante Adams was there yelling. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's got to be. You've got to look out for the man next to you. They let us into that locker room early for some reason. These guys had to take their shoulders pads off. But I once told LaFleur, I said, he's like, oh, my God, what have I done? I'm going to get my players hurt. That, you know, I told him not to get in one of these fights. It brings those guys together.
Again, we're talking to Mike Clemens. You can follow him again. Great information at Mike Clemens NFL on Twitter and X, whatever you want to call it. He's in Cincinnati with the Green Bay Packers as they get set for the preseason opener tomorrow night. Something you were talking about, and one of the things that you get an opportunity is to, you know, see practices and see those that come from maybe under the radar. And you've been around it for such a long time. Is there still the same opportunity for somebody to break through at a training camp in this era than it was maybe a decade or two ago? I know that coaches and organizations, they have so much more information. I mean, the information comes in continually, but you can hear stories from the old days where somebody, a free agent or a low draft pick, just comes in and just turns everybody's head. And there used to be more practices in the preseason. You could have the old two-a-days and all that stuff. Nowadays, it feels like you don't have as many opportunities on the practice field. Do you have the sense that there are still the opportunities for those guys that may come in below the cut line and be able to work their way onto a roster during the preseason activities?
That's a great point, Chad. I mean, let's say you're an undrafted player, but, you know, you played at a big school, you were a good player, but, you know, there was a lot of good guards in the most recent draft, or, you know, you happen to get an offer to come and try out for a team that's stacked at offensive guard or offensive line. And then, you know, you can go through all the OTAs and the mini camps you want, but you're not going to hit anybody. You know, it's helmets and shorts. And now you get into this training camp. And, you know, when I started doing this every day in 2005, Mike Sherman had 50 practices during training camp. 50. Because we had two-a-days then. And we've got like 13, 14 now this year, and only three preseason games. So how is that guy going to earn a job as a guard on this team and break through the depth of the offensive line with that amount of snaps? And the answer is you can also get yourself eliminated pretty quick because there's a center that they just signed. I'm trying to look him up here. Embry, I think his name is. The Packers did. And he went up against, they did some one-on-ones yesterday with the Bengals, which was very revealing. He went up against a third-string guy named Raymond Johnson III, who's a defensive end. And James Empey, they just signed him the other day backing up at center. And they go one-on-one. And this guy not only bull-rushed him, took his shoulder pads, started to throw him around, and he didn't actually get him on the ground. He got him so twisted around, but by the second time he did a 360, you could look on his face like he was almost putting his hands up to surrender. Mm. Like he was going to quit football right there. he just got mauled by this third string Bengal defensive lineman. And it was embarrassing. It was such a bad rep. And so those little things like that can make you or break you. But I think the kid who's going to cut through right now, even though there's a lot of receivers, is this 18. You look for this Malik Keith coming up, you know, in tomorrow night's game. But I, you know, in the years that I've covered the team, there was some undrafted guy from the Houston Texans who had tremendous speed. You couldn't believe the Houstons let him go. And every time that they gave him a new assignment, he was able to accept it. And that was Tremont Williams.
Yep.
Or there was one time where the Packers had plenty of tackles, but there was a guy they took from a team that only won two games a year before. They picked him in the fourth round, and Clay Matthews did three one-on-one reps with that guy, just in drills. And by the third one, he was so frustrated, Clay was, that he couldn't get around this kid. He pulled off his helmet, pulled off his chin strap, and threw it on the ground in frustration. And that kid that was blocking him was David Bakhtiari. Mm. And last year alone, the second day of camp, you know, I'm looking for these kinds of guys. And I was looking at the footwork of this one offensive lineman. I said, I know it's only the second day of camp, but man, this guy's got tremendous footwork for an offensive lineman, kind of like Bakhtiari did. And, you know, he's really impressing. And that was Zach Tom, who looks like he's probably going to get an offensive starting tackle job this year, or maybe center. So you can see it. Within a couple of days, you can see it, like guys can stand out like that and get to the top of the roster.
Tomorrow night, first preseason game. What are you hearing in terms of how much we're going to see some of what you call the starters going into the preseason? And how much does the fact that they have these practices with Cincinnati affect maybe what we're going to see tomorrow night? Because you have the opportunities to get some reps in these joint practices. Does that mean we may see fewer snaps tomorrow night from some guys? What's your expectations?
One storyline that I get tired of every training camp. I love training camp, but the one that I get tired of is, well, are we going to play the preseason games? You know, and it's so dumb. I don't understand why the coaches are secretive about it. I wish they were, maybe they really truly are undecided, because they need to see what the health of guys are. But they're telling us now, I mean, even Matt LaFleur said it yesterday, and it looks like they're leaning towards getting some snaps for Jordan Love. And that not only means, okay, you've got to have a good offensive line out there. You don't want this kid hit. You don't want to have that regret. So does that mean Bakhtiari's going to play in a preseason game, and Elton Jenkins, and, you know, are you going to put your first-team line out there? We almost have to. Well, here's the other thing. We got to go into the Bengals locker room yesterday after that long two-and-a-half-hour practice, and most of those guys say, no, we're not going to play. Most of the first-teamers for the Bengals are a team that says, we think we've still got a shot to not only make the playoffs but go deep and maybe get back to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Taylor, head coach, he's a Sean McVay guy who, you know, a year or two ago, LaFleur's a McVay guy too. You get to these preseason games and the inactives are like 18 or 20 guys long, and they're all starters. And so at the end of the day, when you see a team like the Packers, like the Patriots, like the Bengals, have a couple of these joint practices with other teams, to me, the rule of thumb is, when you have a joint practice, that's for the guys that have already made the team. The preseason games now are for the guys who haven't.
And I guess one final...
Who need those snaps.
One final thing before I let you go is, you brought it up early in the conversation, and now just again, this aspect of secrecy. You know, you're talking about this, and it reminds me of reading stories about the 70s when George Allen was in Washington, and he was paranoid that somebody was always going to be, you know, a cowboy guy was going to be peeking through the chain link fence or something. He had covered it all up. Is there a sense of a little bit of, I don't know what you'd call it, with Coach LaFleur, but secretive aspect to him? You said, you know, Cincinnati's a little bit more open when it comes to the filming. You've been around, obviously, a long time. You know how things have maybe changed in Green Bay. What's your take on LaFleur with that aspect of his personality, and does that mean anything, I guess, and ultimately in terms of his success as a coach or not, because I just find it interesting when you talk about that. All of a sudden, I started thinking about George Allen and back in the day where he was just paranoid at times when it came to leaks in terms of information.
And spies, right?
Yeah, spies, well,
that's a great story. Yeah, that's a great story. I will tell you this. What's silly about this, Chad, is that yesterday, you know, we get to the one period now where they're 11-on-11, and then, you know, the PR people from the teams, they're basically media security, go, all right, shooting's over, and everybody has to put their cameras and their cell phones and their TV cameras down. But as soon as there's this brawl yesterday, a couple of hours later, I start surfing on Twitter, and it's like, thank you, God bless you, because there's Bengals fans that are standing in the stands, and there's too many of them, and they've got a very nice video of the whole thing, and you can stop and analyze and see who pushed who, you know? I mean, it's just silly. And, you know, if you're sly and you're a scout from another team, you go wearing your Bengals garb and with orange and black, you know, makeup on, and you go and watch the practice in person because you can't get tape of it. But these teams are worried about people that are in skyscrapers with telescopes looking down on the field. And the Packers, they spent a couple of million dollars. You know, you talk about George Allen putting up some tarp around the fence. The Packers now have these, like, curtains, deep black tarp that go about 18 to 20 feet up in the air. And when they go to regular season, they can put up a tarpaulin wall. There's these new... If you come to the Lambeau Field area, they've got these new pillars, and these things, these curtains go up, and you're not looking in, man. They're constantly worried about people at the rest center, which is only like two stories. You know, if there's some janitor there working for the Vikings and shooting video of game plan. So, yeah, it must be happening. You know, you remember there was that Spygate thing that the Patriots were found guilty of. This stuff does go on. And so teams are aware of it, and apparently they think it makes a difference.
Mike Clemens, again, in Cincinnati with the Green Bay Packers as the pack gets set to take on the Bengals tomorrow night in the preseason opener. Great stuff as always, Mike. Try to stay cool as possible in the Queen City. Enjoy the rest of your time, and we'll talk again real soon.
My pleasure, Chad. Thank you, pal.
Absolutely. Again, Mike Clemens. Follow Mike. Again, great information. He's there. He is always there at the practices, as we now find out in Cincinnati with the Packers. Follow him on social media. You can go to Twitter. His Mike Clemens NFL. And that's Mike Clemens, C-L-E-M-E-N-S, NFL. Mike Clemens NFL, all one word. And get great information, not just on the Packers, but he's been, as our sports director, the Brewers and everything else going on in sports, and really a great addition. We're going to make sure we use him as much as possible during the upcoming Green Bay Packers season. We have to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, have our final segment to wrap things up on this Thursday. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. 9:54 on the 10th of August, 2023. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1846, the Smithsonian Institution was chartered by the U.S. Congress after $500,000 was given for such a purpose by scientist James Smithson. On this date in 1991, tragic story, the head of John Walsh's son Adam was found in Hollywood, Florida. This event would later prompt the U.S. Congress to pass the Missing Children's Act, giving the Federal Bureau of Investigation greater authority to track the disappearance of children. It also made Walsh a national spokesman against crime and eventually led to the establishment of America's Most Wanted. On this date in 2008, American swimmer Michael Phelps won the first of a record 8 gold medals at the Beijing Olympics by smashing his own record in the 400-meter individual medley. On this date in 2019, 4 years ago today, financier Jeffrey Epstein was found dead of an apparent suicide in his jail cell in New York while awaiting trial for sex trafficking charges. And 1 year ago today, thousands of cans of tasty Bud Light lost their lives during a tragic accident in Louisville, Kentucky. Local media reported a semi full of Bud Light crashed, sending the cases and Bud Light cans pouring from the truck. Some famous people who are celebrating birthdays today. Actor Rosanna Arquette is 64 years old. Actor Antonio Banderas is 63. Author Suzanne Collins, most famous for The Hunger Games, is 61. Angie Harmon, actress from Law & Order, is 51 years old today. Also, Ryan Eggold from The Blacklist Redemption and 90210 is 39 years old today. Actor Charlie Kuntz of CSI Cyber is 36. Actor Lucas Till from MacGyver and the Hannah Montana movie is 33. Kylie Jenner is 26. And Jeremy Maguire from Modern Family is 12 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated today. I'm not sure what the reason is. I have to find out. But it is Duran Duran Appreciation Day. It is also Vlogging Day, Video Blogs Vlogging Day. It is Lazy Day. It's S'mores Day. It's also Spoil Your Dog Day, Smithsonian Day, and World Lion Day. And our number for the day is 1636. That is the year the oldest college in America was founded, Harvard University. The College of William & Mary was founded in 1693. So Harvard founded in 1636, so 1636 is our number for the day. Thanks again to our guests this morning, the host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow, and also Mike Clemens, our civic media sports director, joining us from Cincinnati to talk about the Packers. Have yourselves a great rest of your Thursday. Should be a beautiful day weather-wise. Get out there, enjoy it, and make sure you're back tomorrow morning from 8 until 10, another edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio. Stick around. CBS News at the top of the hour coming up, followed by As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinier. Keep it right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.